There are two scripture readings this evening, both found in the New Testament. The first reading now we turn for our instruction in God's Word is to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we commence our reading at the verse 12 and down to the verse 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear his word together. The Lord truly give us ears to hear and hearts to receive his word this night. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We now turn to our next reading, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we read from the verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in the verse 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his most holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word, all to the glory of his name and to the good of our needful and never dying souls here this evening, and all to the glory of his name. Well, dear friends, I invite you to turn your attention to that first reading that I directed to you in the epistle of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 there. And let me say, first of all, as we read two readings from the New Testament, I need to say at this evening hour of gospel preaching that both those readings are readings that are not directed to unbelievers. It's very clear from both of those readings that these things concern believers. But having said that, as we look at those texts and as we see them this evening, I trust that we'll see that there are helpful elements to serve as reminders, as warnings this evening as well, to those who do not love the Lord and who love the present things of this world, and also to us who are believers, how we should not love the world and how we should love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. So if we just turn there to 1 John chapter 2 and the verse 12, I just emphasize once again that, first of all, here the Apostle John, as he writes, quite possibly to the church at Ephesus, it is believed that 1 John and 2 John are written to believers at Ephesus. John is an old man, and he says in verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So it's very clear from this epistle that John, by the Spirit, is writing to those whose sins are forgiven. And those of you who are not saved this evening, let me say this is the great need of the soul, is to have forgiveness of sins, and it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, of course, is all by grace. Now, as I said, it might seem very strange to take, as my approach to a gospel sermon, to take a text such as we find here in 1 John 2, and also as we'll see from 1 Corinthians 16 as my text, but I trust you'll see where I'm going with this evening. Really, from the verse 15, I want us to look at, and what we could say is the theme for the sermon this evening. I really don't have a theme. I'm not very good at titles, but what to love and what not to love, we could say. So if we look at the verse 15 there, John, by the Spirit, writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, friends, basically, the Bible tells us that mankind basically hates God. When he uses the word here, world, world can mean a lot of things. We're not just talking about the globe, but the world, society. As we see it, world in general, people, nations. Basically, the world, people, do not love God. And the whole of the world's thinking is such that man lives for himself. Basically, his whole life is designed to please himself, not the God of heaven who has made him and who sustains him. God is not in his thoughts. Man lives unto himself day after day, living for himself, seeking to please himself, denying the very God of heaven who manifests himself by his things that he has made, the invisible attributes of God clearly manifest that there is a God in heaven. We read Romans chapter 1 that man is without excuse. So as he looks upon these things, he is without excuse. As he beholds the beautiful trees, the lovely sunsets and the sunrises, the beautiful skies, the sea, the plethora of different birds and fishes, the heavens and the earth declare the glory of God. God has given man all these things to richly enjoy. And man, at the same time, has no thought for his Creator, no thought for Christ, who has made these things. Instead, man takes Christ to his lips and takes his name as a swear word. He has no thought for God. Basically, the world and all of its systems and all of its ideologies are designed to please man and not God. And it's fair to say that the world is increasingly knowing less and less restraint on the body. Notice, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's not how God made this world. When God made man, he made man to glorify him and to trust him. God walked with man in the cool of the day, there in Genesis chapter 2, and he knew that perfect bliss and fellowship with God. And God warned him that the day that he sinned, he would surely die, and trouble would come into his life. And sure enough, as man sinned, he began to lie. He began to lust. And increasingly, when we get to Genesis chapter 6, we see how wicked the world was, so that God had to destroy all of humanity apart from 8 people. God had determined just to save 8 people. We are told in Hebrews that Noah was commanded to build an ark to the saving of his family. To the saving of his family, to nobody else, but to the saving of his family. Because God had determined that after 120 years had passed, and God knew that nobody in Noah's day would repent, but only Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Man increased terribly in his lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Well, it's no different today, is it? Noah was a sinner, but he was saved. And out of his loins came sinners, and out of your loins come sinners. And this is why we're not to love the world, not to love, as it were, man, and man's ways, and the ways of this world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, or the vanity of life, man vaunts himself. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And who is the world controlled by? Well, we're told in Ephesians chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air that now works in the sons of disobedience, who has blinded the minds of them that believe not, love not the world, and the world passeth away. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. People pass through this life. They go on to a lost eternity without God. Don't love the world. The world denies God openly. Every day holds down the truth and unrighteousness. It is increasingly so. Don't love the world. But what should we love? Don't love the world. Don't love the things in the world. But we should love Christ. I turn you now to 1 Corinthians 16. And this perhaps is a very strong verse for some. But I trust with the Lord's help I'll be able to open it up to our understanding. I read verse 22. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Is that a gospel text? Yes, I believe it is. It is a gospel text. Why? Why is this such an important verse? Well, who is the Lord Jesus? He's God. What is the first part of the table of the law? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. So this evening, what not to love and what to love. And there is a curse that is attached to this. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be maranatha, anathema, maranatha. And we'll explain those words. For the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, is the second person of the Trinity. No less than God, who is manifest in the flesh, the divine Son of God, the one true being who does not change, the one who has made this world, the one who has created all things, the eternal Son of God, God who was manifest in the flesh, the one who, indeed, one whose life spans all eternity, the one who is always before the Father. One's eternity is determined by this one. You realize that here this evening. Who controls eternity? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the Everlasting One. And let me say, one's eternity is determined whether we know and we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does Paul mean in this verse? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Well, first of all, let me say, it is a terrible sin to not love the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a terrible, terrible sin to not love Him. This verse, properly understood, should not come as a surprise to those of us who are true Christians, but perhaps it will come as a surprise to some this evening. Notice the word here, anathema. It simply means to be accursed. And I remind you here that in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul is not giving his own thoughts. These are the words of the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so what he has to say here is true, is accurate, it is God's Word. And this is not the first time that the Apostle Paul uses this word accursed. If you turn, for instance, and have a look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, he actually uses it twice there. And he speaks about the gospel, and he says, I marvel that you so soon be removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he repeats it. As we said before, and say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. What is it to be accursed? It is to be eternally condemned forever, to be lost, to know God's damnation. Are these words necessary? They're absolutely necessary. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, being God, is worthy of the highest honor. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let me say, he's very God. If you don't love him, you don't love God. Would we say, if a man loved not God, that he should not be accursed? Well, if a man loved not God, he should be accursed. Definitely. God who gives all men life and light and things to enjoy freely, let him be accursed that love not the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I often, in the open air preaching, have some smart aleck walk past and mutter something about Christ that would just send shivers down our spines or anger us. And I often think, what judgment is going to fall upon such people that say these things? We challenge them to read the Bible, but they take no concern over these things. And I tell them that the very one that they have mocked is the one who is God. Well, this separates, doesn't it, from the Mormons, from the Jehovah's Witnesses. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. You know, they make the Lord Jesus Christ less than God. He is very God. And that's why he should be loved. And if he is not loved, they will be cursed. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one we should honor. And the word Maranatha here means come, Lord. You see what the apostle is saying? Let him be accursed, come, Lord. So strong is the statement. It could also be taken as a warning. The Lord is coming. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. The Lord is coming. No stronger statement than that. And there are many people that say they love the Lord Jesus. But I say, it's not this Lord Jesus. If you were to study 1 Corinthians, you would see it's the Lord Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul has been opening up to the Corinthians. He said, we preach Christ crucified. That's the Lord Jesus we should love. And think of it, why should we love him? Because he's God who became flesh, who became man. To do what? To suffer and to die upon a cross. That's the Christ. And it's interesting, when you read 1 Corinthians, it begins with people. There are all kinds of problems at Corinth. There are schisms. Some say they were of Apollos. Some say they were of Paul. Some say they were of Cephas. It begins with people, but it ends with a person. It ends with the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom there is no division, who is God, the Blessed One, the one who we should love, the one who we should adore. Oh, the Roman Catholics say they love the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not this Lord Jesus. It's a pathetic Lord Jesus. And very often the little baby in the manger, that's about as far as it goes. Not the one who suffered on the cross. The one in the manger. People will have some sort of figurine, some sort of grotto, and they say, oh, I love Jesus. And friends, often it's the Jesus of their imaginations. They love the Lord Jesus who fed the 5,000. They love the Lord Jesus who did certain things, healing the blind, but not the Lord Jesus who is serious about sin and who warns us to pluck out and to cut off those things which offend him. That's the Lord we are to love, because this Lord hates sin And we ought to thank God that he hates sin. I thank God for a God who does hate sin. Because heaven is not going to be a place where there is going to be sin. Are you ashamed of this, Lord Jesus? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. There are many that are ashamed of his words, or they'll love his actions. As I said, they might love the fact that he fed thousands of people, that he healed the lame, the blind, did many wonderful things, but what they do is they separate his miracles, his signs, and his wonders from his words. In Luke 9:26, we read, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words," never separate Christ from his word. But a lot of people do. Do you love the Lord Jesus of the Bible? That's the Lord Jesus we must love. The Lord Jesus of truth. And so we read here, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Lord Jesus that the Apostle Paul has been teaching about here, people have a phantom Christ in their minds. Savior that they've made up, and the way to know about God. And I can assure you, the more you read your Bible, if you're unsaved, the more you read your Bible, the more you should love the Lord Jesus, because you see how perfect he is and how he put up with sinners, especially his disciples, who were so often selfish and self-centered. And yet you see how patient he is with them. How often they were striving, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he's just told them, and this happened on at least two occasions, he tells them of his suffering, of his dying, that on the third day that he'd be raised again, and then they're interested in his, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How gracious he is. Christ crucified. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, Paul says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, and a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Why should we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Friends, because of who he is. When you think of it, the eternal God who owes us nothing, and who owed this world nothing. It pleased the Father to send his only begotten Son to become an infant, a tiny little baby in the womb of Mary. And while he was there in the womb, he's sustaining the world, the universe. How can you not love him? And he was prepared to undergo all the mocking and the ridiculing of his creatures. And then to come into this world and then to spend some 33 years. And 30 years of those 33 years were spent in relative obscurity, living as the carpenter's son. It was only the last 3 years of his life concerning his public ministry Did people begin to really know who he was? But for 30 years, he was, as Isaiah puts it, that sharpened arrow in God's quiver. And then God brought him out just at the right time. For all those years, what was he doing? He was earning a perfect righteousness for his people. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that are under the law. That's what he was doing for 30 years. Not esteemed of men, but God, veiled in the flesh. Doesn't that make you love him? It ought to. That's the wisdom of God. There's something else for the Christian. And people are offended at Christ and all that he does for sinners. If you just notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28, there are four things that Christ becomes for the Christian that they don't have. Paul says, 1 Corinthians, I read from verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God hath chosen. That is not chosen worldly wise. God hath chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him that is here speaking to Christians, ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. First of all, we have no righteousness. And that's why the Christian, he loves the Lord Jesus. Because there is my righteousness, a righteousness that I could never earn. The Son of God gives to me his own righteousness. What else? Wisdom. He is my wisdom. He guides me by his word and by his spirit, and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and sanctification. That is, he changes my life, changes my heart, gives me new desires. That's why I should love him. And redemption. He will redeem me from the curse of the law, and redeem me to a holy life, that as it is written, if any man glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This is why you should love him. Because he gives to undeserving wretches all those four things in great measure. But above all, what does he give? He gives a glorified body. One day in heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth, that'll be ours. Doesn't give us hell, but eternity. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he's his Lord, the absolute sovereign. And you think about it here this evening, how long have you lived for? And yet he's spared you thus far to hear his word. The Lord of glory, the one who left the heights of glory, the only potentate, He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Christ, the promised one. That's why he uses the full title here. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ, God's promised Messiah. When you read the Bible and you see all the promises that God has made to send in his Son, you can trace all those promises right through the Old Testament and find that they've all been fulfilled. Where he would be born, how he would die, that he'd be raised, and now he's seated in glory. And he's finished the work which the Father has sent him to do. And he's not sitting in the corner of some room. But the Father has said, now sit down at my right hand. Take the place of honor, my son. And you should love him because the Father loves him. And if you don't love him, it's only right that you be cursed. And I ask you again, do you love him? I don't ask tonight, are you able to give a full theological treatise on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? No, I'm not asking that. But what you know of him, do you love him? It's so important you do. Because that's life, to know the Son. But it's a curse not to love him. And it's not just a curse in this life, because to not have the Lord Jesus Christ, and let me say it is a curse in this life, first of all, not to love him, because it's to live an empty life without Christ. You have no wisdom. You have no hope of heaven. You have no assurance of peace with God, but only a sure promise of damnation. Now look at the curse. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. It's a very strong word, isn't it? Very strong word. Let me say, when God curses, it's forever. The scriptures say in Ecclesiastes 3, and I know whatsoever God doeth it, he doeth it forever. Hell is forever. Eternal separation from Almighty God. That's the curse. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Think again, dear friend, of who the Lord Jesus is. He is very God, God the Son, who came into this world and did the unspeakable. And he was keeping you alive at this very moment in time. But then lastly, Maranatha. He's coming. In many ways, it's a wonderful thing, especially for those of us who believe. We love his appearing. We cannot wait to see him and to thank him for all that he's done, those of us who are Christians. What's the thing that you look forward to most? We know from the Psalm 17, the psalmist says, when I awake in thy likeness, shall I be satisfied. But of course, he also speaks about beholding God face to face. And that will be his joy and his pleasure. Not only awaking in Christ's likeness, but to truly see God, and to thank God for all that he's done in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be just wonderful to thank him and to see him? And we're so thankful that this world as it is, as we see it, as we thought in the first part of this sermon here tonight, 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things of the world. How this world is passing away in all of its lusts, in all of its pleasure, and how the world is going to be judged in its sin. I mean, look at the world. It's never good news, is it? Really. Most days you turn on the radio, if you listen to the radio, and there are not many radio stations today that you can listen to lot for long before having to turn off the radio. It's a sad world, isn't it? But this Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for them that love him. Isn't he said that? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's coming. But it's a word of warning to those who love not the Lord Jesus this night. I say it's the greatest sin not to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no reason you should not love him, except for your own wicked heart, except for your own sin. Of course, there are lots of other reasons I could give, but primarily, people do not love him because he is light. He said, men do not come to the light because they love darkness. You are still in darkness, my friend, if you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I urge you this evening to go home and to start reading the Bible seriously and to start praying to God to have mercy upon your soul, that he will turn your God-hating heart to a Christ-loving heart. That you will not be accursed. Only God can save. I can't save you. Nobody here can save you. Nobody here can pressure you into being a Christian. It is all of grace. We thought of Samuel this morning. It was the Lord that called Samuel. It was the Lord that changed his heart. Samuel started to hear the word of God as it was revealed to him. And the more he heard it, the more he grew in his knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And I can tell you this, I can give you that promise tonight. Those who read and study of the Savior will never be disappointed. Never. You will never find a fault in him. You'll be as Pilate who said, I find no fault in him. In all of eternity, in all of eternity that it brings, you will never find a fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love him, you will never stop loving him in this life and in the life to come. But if you do not love him, you will be accursed. And God is coming. He is coming to judge the quick and the dead, the live and those who sleep in the graves. And at his voice, everyone will arise. Some to eternal life. Some to everlasting destruction. My dear friend, what I have to say this evening is said with all the pathos and concern for your soul to seek the Lord now while he may be found. For he is coming. And may it not be at your peril. Seek him now with all your heart. Amen.